Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Move Fast, Love Tevye Podcast. This is co-host Joe Roscoe. Thanks for tuning in. If you haven't subscribed or left a comment yet, we'd greatly appreciate it as it helps the growth of this podcast. So the more amazing guests that you want to hear, the more those ratings and subscribers will help out. If you haven't tried out Train with CH yet, you can go to mflhtrain.com or movefastlovetevye.com and get your own special discount on signing up for Christian Harris's exact training program. All right, enjoy the episode. Thanks again. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Move Fast, Lift Heavy Podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, co-host of MFLH Pod. Thanks again for tuning in. If you're coming back to the podcast, don't forget a rating or a comment or any of that good stuff will help us out with spreading the good word about Move Fast, Lift Heavy Podcast. If you haven't checked us out on the gram yet, go to @MoveFastLiftHeavy. All right, special guest as always. I'm going to be flying solo for a hot second. Christian might be popping in within the middle of this call, but I know you all love me by now, right? Right? All right, we'll take a poll. But love me or hate me, our guest is a really, it's a different guest, meaning like not in the realm of CrossFit, and I'm super excited about that, but we'll still be talking things like strength and conditioning, the world of competition. Speaking of the world, our guest was a member of the women's Olympic softball team back in 2020, but I believe they told me they actually played the game in 2021 because the world was, well, it was a mess. So I'm sure we'll get into that in just a second. We were doing a drop, I think, and that's on Insta. And I think that's how we got connected with each other. They also played at Cal Berkeley. They were a pitcher. They were a first base person. I want to get this right as well. So please welcome to the podcast, Valerie Ariotto. Hey, Valerie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Did I nail that last name or not, Ariotto?
Ariotto, yeah. It's Italian. You pretty much nailed it.
Ariotto.
Exactly. That's how it should be said.
My Italian sister. My family's from Sicily, so.
Likewise. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Okay, what part of Sicily are they from?
I think.
You know?
Okay, I'm gonna really mess this up. I think Santalia.
Okay, I have no idea. Like mine's from Bagaria, which is near Palermo.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to go see the church my grandparents were married in a couple of years ago. It was pretty cool.
That's so cool. I've traveled to Italy, but I haven't gotten to Sicily yet. So you're going to have to tell me where to
visit. You got to go. Your family is going to feel disrespected if you don't get down to the home country. You know what? Christian's over here, too. We're just going to pop him in here. Let's see. Christian. Hey. Are you in your driveway?
What's up,
are you in your driveway?
No, I am at the barber shop right now with my little guys.
Nice. So you already got your haircut. Valerie, this is Christian. Christian, Valerie. Look at us meeting online.
Hello, Hi. Valerie.
Can you see us? I know you're blind and you don't have your glasses on. Can you see us?
It's hard. It's the way that the screen is set up. It's very, very small, but...
Hilarious.
All right, okay. There you are.
Okay, you can see us better. All right, so we're just getting into it, actually, with Valerie. So your guys are in the chair, and you're just waiting outside, right?
Yeah, they're kind of almost done, but I got the Italian thing down.
All right, cool. So whenever you got to pop out, Christian, you pop out, but I'm glad you're here. Okay, so Valerie, first things first, Christian will enjoy us getting into this. We talked about silly things that we might talk about, and I was on my dog walk, and I still haven't eaten dinner yet, and I'm quite hungry. So I was thinking, We'll do some food questions first, because that's where my mind's at. If you're, let's go with the Italian theme. If you're at the Italian restaurant, would you rather have a pasta dish or a pizza dish?
Oh, that's hard. I would say pasta. I get linguine and clams every single time.
Okay.
Pizza's like late night.
All right. If you're at breakfast, are you going with pancakes or French toast?
Pancakes.
Okay. Are you going to like any like specialty, like blueberries in there, chocolate chip?
Nope. Plain and simple.
Just okay. Soup. All right. Last question on the food. If you're chasing the sweet, as Christian likes to say, and you're having dessert, are you going to have, we're still at the Italian restaurant. I know we took a pit stop to breakfast, but we're back at the Italian restaurant.
Italians eat breakfast. So
are you going to have cannoli or gelato for dessert?
I would say cannoli.
Oh, definitely.
But together they would be great too. So I just didn't want to be selfish.
All right. Greedy. All right. Great choice. I want to get into your background as like as far as when softball started. But while we have Christian on here, I want to jump kind of fast forward into maybe the training aspect of like what that looked like to either be a high level college athlete at Cal Berkeley or an Olympian, and how you specifically train in the sport of softball. I know pitching, like big time leg drive off that mound, all that, or the rubber, I guess there's no mound, sorry. But you know what I mean? Okay. Tell us a little bit about that.
I would say growing up playing softball, it's such a different world than I'm at right now, where I'm like, I have a home base. This is where I train. I'm like a quote unquote regular person now. But as an athlete and like training for the Olympics, we traveled so much for our sport that we never had a consistent, here's where we're all together, we're training together. So it was a lot of like piecing things together and making it work. Sometimes we had no equipment. Sometimes we had state-of-the-art facilities. So I think we got really creative in how we trained. So we had the luxury of having one of my teammates be a strength and conditioning coach. So she always would kind of take lead with putting us through those workouts and making sure we were ready for the games. I think one thing that softball, at least in my career, that we started to do later on as we got to closer to the Olympics and training with Team USA, is a lot of like younger athletes stay away from lifting overhead or shoulder things because we throw so much. And it's like, we get so fixated on not hurting ourselves that we're not strengthening ourselves either. So I think that was just an interesting piece for me, is we call it a quad. So the 4 years of training up until the Olympics, of being able to implement not only lower body exercises, but also shoulder, because we do use them so much, and how our whole bodies work together. So I would say, just as far as the training piece for the Olympics, it was a lot of like on the road, here we go, we're going to figure it out type of thing. And now I'm dabbling in CrossFit now that I'm retired. So I see like a whole different world of having a home base. My gym is Newton's Law of Fitness in Napa. So seeing like the different ways of training has been really eye-opening for me.
Very cool. What do you think about that, Christian? We hear that a
lot.
Love to hear that. Say it again. You cut. Love to hear what?
I love to hear that you're starting your CrossFit journey. And I would like to know, what are three staple exercises that you would have as part of your weekly regimen in softball?
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, I can say I'm dabbling in CrossFit. It's like so humbling going from being like one of the best in the world at something to getting your ass kicked like every single day. So I'm very humbled and like just excited to be a part of like the CrossFit community and all of that. But I would say three movements that we did a lot when we were training is when we utilized, we called them band work, and it seems so basic, but just to strengthen the shoulder, get that movement internally and externally, we always did that. We did a lot of single leg work as well, just to be able to have that movement side to side agility wise, and just a lot of conditioning as well. A lot of people think that softball doesn't have conditioning, but you would be surprised after like three games in a day how much it's needed. So I would say those are the kind of the ways that we kind of stuck to. Obviously it would change depending on if it's closer to games or further away from games, but those are the ones we kind of stuck to.
This is my turn.
So it sounds to me like a lot of rehab work.
Yes, especially because our games were.
Did you guys do a lot of rotational work as well?
Yes, and I think a lot of like people would say, okay, I'm a right-handed hitter, so I'm only rotating this way. I'm a right-handed thrower, so I'm only rotating that way. But we did a lot of training on both sides. And some people are like, well, that's pointless. You're not left-handed. But to be able to have the body work together is super important to have, you know, not just one side moving in the correct way. So definitely a lot of rotational work.
I would say, since you are starting this CrossFit journey, to continue that, only because in CrossFit, there is not much rotational work at all. And it's one of the things that a lot of people should be doing as part of their accessory work. So definitely continue to do the rotation. Stuff, a lot of the single leg and unilateral movements, and it'll definitely help.
Noted. Okay, I'm getting some good professional advice here. I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, I just started tennis lessons maybe 2-3 weeks ago, and I'm like, oh, I never rotate at my torso. I never go laterally because CrossFit, like Christian's saying, it's so up and down. It's so stationary. So yeah, for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah. Would you say, as far as like you kind of were saying you were not on your own for a little bit of it, but would you say your time at Cal Berkeley versus your time at with the Olympic team was more structured than the Olympic team? Would you say that?
Totally. Yeah. Cause we were in one place. We had one facility. We were doing, you know, team lifts together, team conditioning together, team practice together, pretty much everything was together. So that was a lot different than going to professional, where at least for softball, there isn't just one location for everyone. We're kind of all meeting up. We have teammates from all over the place meeting up different places, you know, every month. So that was definitely a big difference, but also just collegiate to professional, as far as, you know, professional, they assume that you know what you're doing. And that you have your own routine and that you're good because you've been doing it and you know what you're doing. You know, you don't want to fix something that's not broken kind of mentality. But yeah, there was definitely a difference of not only the mindset of, you know, amateur versus professional, but just as far as setting goes as well. It's like more kind of permanent versus more flexible with travel.
Yeah, I just watched, I think it's called The Redeem Team on Netflix, about one of the men's Olympic basketball teams. Mm-hmm. And that was Coach K. It was just like, y'all are pros. Y'all know what you're doing. And it's just like, we're here to play and we're going to figure it out as a team. Yeah, but a lot of it is us just leaning on you being the best in the world at something. How was that trying to build chemistry? So I didn't get into this yet. I'm sure in the intro, we'll specify it later, but y'all got the silver medal. Congratulations. You were ranked first going into it, so high expectations. How did you hold up to those high expectations? Because even in CrossFit, when we go to the games, there's people that are supposed to win the games and they don't even end up on the podium. So, you know, silver is nothing to just brush aside. How did you have that successful time as a team? Was it natural for you girls to just kind of find your step with each other, or what was the process of like learning to play together?
Yeah, so a lot of us have played together for years. Again, since we're not all in the same location, it's not like we get to train together every day, so that was a bit challenging. But I would say as a team, like our whole culture and mindset was be a good teammate first, and we kind of took that throughout our whole journey of the quad and the 4 years leading up to the Olympics. We just felt like, you know, if you're being a good teammate, you're being a good person, you're probably doing something right, and it's going to translate and hopefully good karma comes back to you. But we became really close on our travels and journey. And that's kind of how we, you know, stuck together. And I think as far as expectations go, you know, we've always had that expectation of being number one, and that's what we like, right? Like we want to be number one. That's the expectation we want. Sometimes that can be a hard situation because the target, the everything is eyes are on you. And that can bring some pressure, but I think that's like, we took that as just respect and holding ourselves to a high expectation as well. I think our expectations were higher than anyone else's could have been. So of course, like we wanted to get gold and that's what we were working for. But the experience and kind of the journey that we had, especially through COVID, I think I wouldn't have changed for the world. Yeah, would have liked a different color medal. But, you know, just throughout the years of training and working and everything that's been was put into it, I think silver was obviously a really great accomplishment.
Yeah. Okay. So during COVID, like what, I don't even want to relive it or like even bring it up, but what were some of the complications or curveballs that were thrown at you all as you were trying to make this happen?
Yeah, I would say one of the biggest one is like, we didn't even know if the Olympics were going to be had. So many other events and everything else were getting canceled and postponed. And we were kind of just in a holding pattern, just like everybody else in the world was, but that was difficult. And then also, you know, training wise, we couldn't be together. It was like, okay, you're in your house or you go up into the mountains, like where no one else is to be able to train. So that was a little bit isolating as well. But I think we really leaned into like, you know, video chats, like everyone else is doing together, getting to know each other more, building that bond that way, because we couldn't be together. So that was a challenging piece, but I've said it a million times, but for us, we got to play in the Olympics. We got to live out our dream. So compared to a lot of other people whose things got canceled, we're like so grateful and excited that we got to have that experience.
Yeah. How long had you had the Olympics, you know, in your sight? Was it something that you had always wanted to do, or when did this come about?
I actually never like dreamed of like being in the Olympics or being an athlete. I just played because I loved it. And I just was athletic and loved activity growing up. I played soccer, basketball, I water skied, like just loved doing anything and everything and still do. But yeah, I think that was like what I was focused on. I'm like, oh, this is fun. My friends are doing it. Let's do it. And then I kept getting just different opportunities and got the opportunity to go to Cal Berkeley, which is one of the best universities in the country and in the world, really. And just kept getting these really cool opportunities until it became my career. So I never said like, oh, I want to be an Olympian, which a lot of my teammates had. But for me, it didn't really become a reality until I'm like, oh, I'm on the Olympic team. Like, wow, this is crazy. And I have like, obviously so many people to thank and my family who supported me throughout my entire career. Cause, you know, I had the opportunity to play 11 years, professionally. So ended up being a pretty good one, but.
Yeah. Amazing. For people that are listening, that are training to compete in CrossFit, or they are, and they are finding themselves on competition floors with other elite athletes that they have grown to know, but find themselves like debating, hey, I'm just as good. Cause this happens in CrossFit as you'll start to follow, where there's a lot of upping as the sport grows, a lot more younger people are coming up quicker and quicker. So as that's happening, they're finding themselves next to these elite athletes who they've looked up to the past 3, 4, 5 years. When you were playing and you weren't really expecting or wanting to be on the Olympic team, how did you kind of like find your stride and feeling like you belonged, if that was even a thing for you?
Totally. Yeah. I think there's like a couple pieces to that. Is like, one, I've learned throughout my career, I didn't really realize this when I was younger in my career, because that's how I was. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many like great athletes here. I'm just trying to keep up. But later in my career, like, and part of our team motto was like, comparison is the thief of joy. Like sometimes we get so wrapped up in what other people are doing, or, oh, I need to be doing that too. And like, we know ourselves best. I know how I train. It's different than how someone else trains. I know what I'm gifted at. It's different than what someone else is gifted at. So I think, yes, like, okay, we're acknowledging what our competitors do just as a, like a scouting report type of thing, and to have that knowledge going into the games. But as far as like competing and being the best athlete I can be, I think sometimes we get too wrapped up in what other people are doing and not enough of like what I can be doing and what I do really well. So I think for me, especially later in my career, I was really focused on, I'm going to have the best time of my life doing it, because it's not going to last forever. And then also like, you know, what I do well isn't what someone else does well. So I'm going to do me the best way I can possibly do it. So yeah. I think that's like a really important piece of not only just softball, but CrossFit or whatever else. And then second piece to that is, I think there's so many greats that have been in the sport of softball, just like CrossFit or anything else. And there's so many great athletes that you can take the tradition and what has happened before you, take those great pieces of tradition and then make it your own. And I think that's what our team did going into the Olympics. It was so much different than any other softball Team USA Olympics had ever been. But we made it our own and respected, I guess, the tradition of the athletes around us as well as before us too. So that was really special for us.
How was it different? How did you make it different than any other team?
I think like our personality as a team was this kind of like, I don't want to say fun loving because that seems like not competitive or like fierce, because we were like definitely those people that are just going to go out there and try to win every single time in every single thing. We're super competitive, but we had this like way about us that, like I said, we wanted to be good teammates. We wanted to make sure the experience was fun. We wanted to make sure that we like took a step back and looked around and were grateful for where we were and what we were doing. And I think that piece, not to say that other teams in the past hadn't done that, but it was definitely a different personality in their team. So I think we took their pieces of being competitive, you know, winning everything, that kind of spirit, but also doing it our own way of like, this is going to be the best ride of our lives type of way.
Yeah. Did you predominantly pitch or did you play first, or is it a mix of both?
I played first. So I pitched through college and then a little bit after my professional career. And then I started specializing in first base later on in my career.
Got it. So first base, usually they're known for hitting bombs. Did you hit a lot of home runs?
You know, on good days I did. On bad days, not so much. So.
Well, of course, of course. Was that one of the comparisons? Were you all hunting for a top spot for the most home runs?
No, we're trying to just win. But home runs, if they come, they're great too. I think sometimes people get wrapped up in like hitting home runs. And honestly, they are really, really great. But when someone's throwing like 70 miles an hour at you from 43 feet away, sometimes you're like, I'm just praying to get the bat on the ball for real. So, but yeah. Home runs are great.
I grew up during, I think, the Jenny Finch era, like of the Olympics. And I remember her, they did something where she pitched to Mike Piazza, who used to play for the New York Mets as a catcher. I think he might have even transitioned to first at one time. But anyways, he didn't have a prayer at hitting her when he was pitching.
It's like a completely different sport. So if I try to hit a baseball, it'd probably be the same thing.
Yeah, coming from a whole different angle, the amount of feet in between. Yeah, it's all different. As you've transitioned out of this, so another like thing, I think a lot of CrossFit fans can relate to this, as a lot of them are former athletes and have gotten into CrossFit because of kind of the similarities in like training for a sport. So for me, I played college football and I really loved CrossFit just because it reminded me so much of just like the preparation aspect of sport. Obviously there is the competitive side too. How have you turned the switch off, or have found other ways to fill the void, or how's that process been for you not being as competitive?
Yeah, it took me like a year after I retired to like really get back into it. And like, that's when I started CrossFit. But I would say the biggest things for me is why I love CrossFit so much is the community. It kind of reminded me of like a team atmosphere. Like if I didn't show up for a week, people are like, where are you? What are you doing? Like holding me accountable. So I really love that piece of it. And just having like people who can relate to what you're doing, and you know, everyone's dying in the workout together. So there's that part of it, but also just I've really enjoyed learning new movements and trying to get better at them. I love challenging myself, and softball is such a repetitive sport that I really like that about CrossFit is like, okay, it's not like you do it one time and you're just super great at it. Like you have to continue to work at it and continue to tweak things, or, you know, try something different if it's not working. And I've really enjoyed that challenge of like, all right, I have no idea how to do this, but I'm going to get good at it. And like, I really take a lot of pride in being good at different things. So I've really enjoyed that piece of like, it feels like you never are just like, okay, I've got it all. You know, it just every single day you're continuing to try to get better and work at something. And I love that part.
Now, when you're in there enjoying the community, enjoying the sweat, are you exclusively just enjoying that, or does the competitor creep in and you're like kind of looking at side to side, seeing where you're at?
I do that on occasion. I'm definitely like, I can't even say I'm looking side to side. I'm probably like looking forward because everyone's beating me so bad, but I definitely am feeling more competitive the better I get at it and the more I'm putting time into it. I'm like, gosh, how is she beating me? How is he beating me? But yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. It's like when I ran the marathon and a woman in a stroller was just passing me on by, like, all right, she's carrying her body weight and another person in a carriage, stroller or whatever.
Super humbling for sure. I swear I was an Olympian.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Hey, this is Valerie. She's a member here. She used to be an Olympics. No, don't say that. Just
say I that. Hate when people start with that, or I show my, Olympic tattoo. I'm like, dang it. Hopefully they don't see that part.
Right. You're gonna have to wear long sleeves to class for the rest of your life.
Oh, I do.
Or until you feel more confident.
Right.
Okay. So with softball, is it done, or are you like coaching, or how are you still involved with the softball community?
Yeah, I'm done playing. But I'm still involved with the youth, doing clinics and teaching the game of softball when I can. I just love doing that part of it, the teaching part of it now, and staying involved in that way. And then I used to be on the board for USA Softball, but now I'm just on a couple committees. So staying involved as far as like the future of softball and how that looks for young girls. Softball actually isn't in the next Olympics or the following one. So it could potentially be in 2028 in LA. So doing a lot of work just to promote the sport and hopefully have a future for young girls to be able to compete in the Olympics like I did.
It's not in it because like globally it's not as popular, or what?
Correct. Yeah. So this next Olympics is in Paris, and they're not huge with softball or baseball. So they opted not to put it in, but we're hopeful for 2028 because it's in LA and we have a lot of softball in LA. So
softball or baseball is not in the next one?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. We're a joint bid.
It's funny because they're just the host country, it's not like the other countries are still going to be there. So
exactly.
I guess it comes down to like the host country is going to have the most people in attendance. I guess that's what it's all about. Perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah,
sure, there's some business.
Something that goes above my head too. So I don't know.
All right. So start campaigning for 2028 LA.
Exactly. Yep.
Gotcha.
Get the word out.
Gotcha. we're at in LA where, will there be multiple different like stadiums and fields, or do they have like a campus in LA? I don't know LA very well like that.
Yeah. LA will, I think just for all the sports and if baseball and softball get in as well, they'll have different venues kind of all out throughout SoCal. But the biggest thing for softball and baseball to get in is that the venues are already built in LA. They don't have to create new venues, which is a really big selling point yeah, for our bid. But yeah, I think they'll have multiple venues, different places.
Got it. Very cool. Okay. So last question I want to ask is and it's kind of like in alignment with what we were just saying with how like in Paris, it's not as big of a sport. What does the common sport fan here in the U.S. like not know or realize or should follow or should know about softball? Like when people are talking softball and they're ignorant to it, like me or what? I played baseball and had multiple girls that I knew that played softball. So I think I'm a little bit beyond ignorant, but what makes you roll your eyes? What makes you roll your eyes when like you hear something from an ignorant American talking about softball?
What makes me roll my eyes?
Not to put you on the spot, but to put you on the spot.
No, that's okay. I think there's like a lot of debate of like softball and baseball are different sports. And I think the distance of softball and baseball gets people screwed up. So the distance and how hard they're throwing is the equivalent of a baseball pitch coming at someone. So I would say that would be maybe the main thing.
Gotcha. But yeah, because
it's actually a way quicker sport than you think. Like the reaction time is insane.
Yeah, what's like an average really fast like 70 to 75 or what is it?
I would say average is upper 60s.
Upper 60s, yeah. But okay, and then tell us though the relation of the rubber to rubber for ML or baseball to softball.
Yeah, so softball's 43 feet away at upper 60s, and then baseball would be, what is it, 60 feet away?
Yeah, so if you, yeah. So doing the math, then yeah, they're throwing low 90s, but high 60s at a much shorter distance basically is going to equal out to the same. How about like styles of, like, there is no rise ball in baseball.
Yeah.
When you were playing, what pitch did you despise the most? Which one didn't you want to see coming at you?
I was not a big fan of the rise ball pitch up. I would take it every single time, just pray that it was a ball and get rid of it. And
got it.
I liked anything down. Those go out of the park better. So
what, with the reaction time having to be quick because of the short distance, what do you look for coming out of the hand? Are you looking at the hand, or are you trying to read the laces like right out of the gate?
Mostly just the hand and like knowing a pitcher's pattern. So some pitchers never throw up, so you don't have to worry about that. But it's pretty much out of the hand. You got to make a decision. Sometimes you can say you can see the seams. Probably hard.
I knew when I said laces, I was like, that's
no, hard. same thing. But I think it's funny, like a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I saw the ball hit the bat. It's actually impossible. It's happening too quickly. But that's me being a geek about my sport. So
got it. Yeah. I actually pitched and was good. Two seam, four seam. It's crazy how I'm 35 now. Like, you live like different lives, you know? Like now I haven't played ball for a long time, and it's like I never did it at all. It's like another lifetime ago. But
right, yeah, I only retired a year and a half ago, and I'm in land development now, and I'm like, what was softball like? But I think I'm like really passionate right now about like proving that I can be good at anything. Like, I was good at softball, and I think that like I'm passionate now about showing it wasn't just like a fluke, that it was like, it's me, right? Like, there's qualities that I have that I can be good at anything I do. So that's kind of my focus point, even though I'm in like the real world now.
Okay, that's another question I have. Do you have another 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because that's a huge thing. I think, again, I just said you live different lives. And what you just said, too, is like, it's such a mental health thing where we assign our worth to like one thing. Like,
oh, totally.
You're not a human, you're a softball player. Or I'm not a human, I'm a business owner. And if I'm not a business owner and I fail or whatever, then I no longer am a human. Or if you're not playing softball, you know? So yeah. What are those like qualities? Like, did you take time to say, hey, this is why I was able to rise to the occasion as a softball player, and there's no reason why I can't transfer this over to something else? Like, how did you come to that realization of like, hey, that was just what I was doing. It's not who I was.
Yeah. I think that's like, it was such a hard transition for me, like retiring and going into the like real world, or just changing what I did in general, because for so long I was that person who did say like, oh, my sport isn't who I am, it's what I do. And I found out, at least for myself, that was a complete lie. Like, it was ingrained in who I was, like, totally as a human. Like, this is, my whole identity was that. And I was trying to tell myself that it wasn't. But, and I would say that a lot of people who say that what they do isn't who they are might find that it's actually not true as well. But once I retired, I kind of learned the hard way of like, okay, who am I now? What am I now? I don't have this team to go to. I don't have this, you know, next thing to go to for the Olympics or whatever else. So it was a really big transition for me. And second part of that is I also had some just life changes in general. So it was pretty difficult. But I would say once I finally found my footing, I think the biggest thing that I think transferred from like being an athlete to where I am now is like, I still think I'm an athlete and I still like am athletic and all of that. I just, you know, have transitioned in my career. But I would say just like my will and want to be the best me in like the most ethical way, I think has transferred over of like, I hold a lot of pride in just being the best at what I do. And like, that makes me happy. So I think regardless of like softball, yeah, you have to have talent, right? Like, eye hand coordination, just how quick it is, just like athleticism in general. But I think the quality of just like wanting to do well at what I do, I think has really come to light in my new career of like, no, I'm going to like conquer this. Like no one can tell me otherwise. I'm going to put in the time. Yeah. Am I going to have struggles? Of course. Like, am I going to fail? Of course. But being able to be like, at the end of the day, that I did everything that I could. I found the resources. I reached out to people. I have a great support system. I think like that's something that I'm like, yeah, this is transferred over as me as a human, not as like my career.
Cool. Thanks, Valerie. You are a great guest. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. It was nice to meet you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, likewise. All right, everyone. That's Valerie Arioto, part of the women's USA softball team from Tokyo, where they took second place. Amazing job. An amazing job for taking up CrossFit. Welcome to the community.
Yay, thank you.
Yeah, we'll see you later. Thanks.
Bye. Thank you.
All right, everyone. Joe Roscoe here with Move Fast, Lift Heavy. Thanks again for tuning in. Every Monday, you can expect a podcast release from us. So if you haven't yet, make sure you're following along and subscribe to the podcast. Check us out, movefastliftheavy.com. Just had our recent February drop. We'll be dropping new stuff every month. So check us out on the gram at Move Fast, Lift Heavy. All right, till next time. See you later.